Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 sound design lesson. In this one, we're building a warehouse code style jungle pad drift drive from scratch. Think deep, moving atmospheric pad, something that feels like it's sliding through a damp industrial room while the drums and sub stay locked up front. So this is not just about making something pretty. This is about making a pad that actually works in a drum and bass arrangement. It has to add tension, identity, and motion without turning the whole mix into fog. And the key technique today is resampling. We're going to start with a simple synth pad, process it, record it back into audio, and then edit that audio like sample material. That is a very D&B way of working. Fast source, heavy transformation, then arrangement focused control. Let's get into it. First, set your project tempo somewhere in the 170 to 174 BPM range. If you want a safe starting point, 172 BPM is perfect. Build a basic loop first. You want a kick and snare or a chopped break, plus a sub placeholder. Keep the arrangement simple while you design. The important thing is to hear the pad against the drums and bass, not in isolation. Now create a new audio track and label it PAD Resample. That's going to be our recording lane. If you want to stay organized, you can also set up a return track for delay or reverb, but that's optional for now. Next, build the source pad. Use Waveitival as your starting point. You want a solid harmonic bass, nothing too fancy. Try a saw wave or a wide Waveitival on oscillator 1, and then a second oscillator either at the same pitch or a little quieter up at the fifth or octave area depending on the chord shape. Keep the unison modest, around 2 to 4 voices. Don't go crazy with detune, just enough to make it alive, maybe around 0.08 to 0.20. On the filter, use a low pass and start with a cutoff somewhere in the 300 to 900 Hz range. That might sound dark, and that's fine. We're going to move it later. Give the amp envelope a slow attack, maybe 200 to 800 milliseconds, with a release somewhere between 2 and 6 seconds. That gives the pass soft, breathing feel instead of a hard synth stab. For the chord, keep it minor and keep it functional. A minor 7, minor 9 or suspended voicing works really well here. You can try root, minor 7th and 10th, or root, 5th and 9th. The goal is to get a moody, open harmony that leaves space for the break and the bass line. Also, don't hold the notes too long. In jungle and D&B, you want the harmony to breathe around the drums, not sit there and smother them. If you prefer a warmer synth character, analog can work beautifully too. The exact synth matters less than the idea. A simple pad that can be transformed later. Now let's add controlled movement before we resample. Put an auto filter after the synth, then chorus ensemble, then saturator and maybe a little echo or hybrid reverb. Keep this subtle. We are not trying to make a giant ambient wash yet. We are building motion into the source so the recorded audio has character. A good starting point is to automate the filter cutoff slowly across 8 bars. For example, let it drift from around 700 Hz up toward 2.5 kHz, then back down. It does not need to be dramatic. In fact, the more subtle the movement, the more useful it usually becomes later. Add just a little resonance, maybe 10 to 20%. Set the chorus low, just enough to widen the top. Add a touch of saturation, maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive, and keep soft clip on if you want a little more bite. If you add echo, keep the feedback low, around 10 to 20%, and dry slash wet very subtle. If you add hybrid reverb, use a small or medium room, or a dark plate, with a decay somewhere around 1.5 to 3.5 seconds and a low cut engaged. Now comes the good part. Create a new audio track, set its input to resampling, arm it, and record the synth, while the drum loop plays. Do at least 2 passes if you can. One pass with the pad held steady, and another pass where you actually perform a little movement while recording. Tweep the filter, nudge the reverb, slightly adjust the chorus. Change the chord voicing between sections if you want. We want to print those imperfections into audio. That's what gives the result life. Once you've recorded a good pass, consolidate the best section into a 2-bar or 4-bar clip. That becomes your raw pad drift source. Now edit it like a sample. Trim it to the most musical section. Add fade so you don't get clicks. If the recording has a strong swell, keep that. That swell can become part of the arrangement energy. If you want, you can keep it as an audio clip on the track, or load it into Simpler later for more triggering control. For this lesson, keeping it as audio is often the better move because it preserves the natural drift. Next, shape the pad so it sits behind the drums and sub. Play EQ8 right after the resampled audio. Start with a high pass around 120 to 250 Hz. If the low mids are muddy, cut a little around 250 to 500 Hz. If it's fighting the snare or the sharp edge of the hats, try a gentle dip around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. And if it's too fizzy on top, use a soft shelf above 8 to 10 kHz. Then add utility and watch the width. You can keep it around 80 to 120% depending on the mix, but if it starts getting too wide, especially in the low mids, narrow it back down. And here's a really important teacher note. If the pad is fighting the sub, don't only reach for EQ. Also lower the clip volume. In drum and bass, the sub needs a clean lane. Your pad should suggest depth, not occupy the foundation. Always listen with the kick and snare loop. If the pad sounds great in solo but smears the groove, it's too big. Trim more low end. Reduce sustain. Make it simpler before you make it louder. Now let's make it feel like an arrangement element. This is where the track starts to feel real. Use automation and chop edits to add motion. You can automate clip gain, filter cutoff, and reverb sends. A really useful structure is to keep the pad filtered and tucked low in bars 1 to 4, then slowly open it up and widen it in bars 5 to 8, and then add a reverse slice or delay tail at bar 8 to push into the next section. That reverse slice trick is very jungle. Try cutting the pad on the last half beat before the snare reset, then reverse it or fade it into the next phrase. It creates a pull into the downbeat without needing a giant riser. Super effective, and it keeps the energy feeling musical instead of overdone. If you need more glue or grit, you can send the pad through a second treatment stage. Try Redux for subtle grain, a little more saturator for density, or a darker hybrid reverb or filtered echo return. Keep the low end of the FX heavily filtered so you don't cloud the mix. And if you want that warehouse character, send the pad lightly into the same room space as the drums. That makes everything feel like it exists in the same physical environment. Now place it like a real DNB arrangement. Don't leave it as an endless loop. Give it a job. In an intro, you might have the filtered pad play by itself with some distant break texture. Then, when the bass teaser comes in, open it slightly. During the drop, pull it back so it leaves space for the drums and sub, but let small ghost swells appear between phrases. In the breakdown, bring it back with more width and reverb. And in the second drop, use chop tails as transition fuel rather than full sustain. That's the mindset here. The pad is fog around the machinery. It's not the lead. It's not supposed to dominate. It supports the track, gives it depth, and helps the transitions feel intentional. Before you move on, it's smart to print a few variations. Make a darker version, a brighter version, and maybe one with extra reverse energy or reverb tail. Name them clearly so you can make quick decisions later. For example, pad drift dark, pad drift open, and pad drift reverse. In real DNB workflow, speed matters. The best tracks often come from committing early and arranging with intent. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't leave too much low end in the pad. High pass more aggressively if you need to. Second, don't make it too lush before resampling. If the source is already huge, it becomes hard to edit and hard to place. Third, always judge it against the drums and bass, not in solo. Fourth, avoid excessive reverb. Shorter decay and filtered returns usually work better. And fifth, don't over-widen the entire layer. Keep the low spectrum tighter and widen only the airy top. If you want darker or heavier character, here are a few extra pro moves. Print one slightly overdriven version and blend it under the clean version. Use the same reverb or delay space as the drums. Make a narrow cut around 300 to 400 Hz if the snare body needs room. Automate width, not just volume, so the pad opens in breakdowns and tucks in during drops. And if your synth allows it, add a tiny bit of pitch instability or detune movement. Just keep it controlled. One more great move is to make the pad react to the bass line. When the bass enters, dip the pad slightly in volume or filter it down a bit. That gives the low end more authority and makes the arrangement feel curated instead of crowded. If you want a quick practice goal, make one usable pad drift loop in 10 to 20 minutes. Set the tempo to 172. Build a basic drum loop. Design a wavy-able pad with two detuned oscillators and a slow envelope. Add auto-filter and automate the cutoff from dull to open over 4 bars. Resample it. Trim the best 2 bars. High pass around 180 Hz. Add a little saturation and reverb. Make one reverse chop into bar 1 and one into bar 3. Then compare it with drums only, and with drums plus sub. Save the version that feels like it belongs in a dark jungle intro or drop turnaround. So the core idea is simple. Build a modest pad, automate it, resample it, then edit it like a drum sample. Start with a simple harmonic source. Add movement before resampling. Print the audio so you can shape it surgically. Keep the low end out of the way of the sub. Use automation, reverses, and filtering to make it part of the arrangement. And always check it against the drums and bass. That's how you get a warehouse code style jungle pad drift drive in Ableton Live 12. Dark, functional, alive, and ready for a real drum and bass track. If you're ready, let's move on and make the next layer even nastier.